Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Glad you're with us once again here on the Financial Flight Plan. Walter Storholt alongside Bree Reyes, investor coach and certified financial planner with Estes Financial Services, serving you throughout the Metroplex. You can find us online at estesfinancial.net, on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn as well. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google, Spotify, everywhere you find your podcasts. Just look up the Financial Flight Plan and you'll be in good shape. Bree, great to chat with you this week once again. How have you been?
Hey, Walt, been doing fine. Funny story for you, though. I think one of our last podcasts, we talked about the big family vacation that we were all headed off
to. That's right, the big ski trip.
Yeah, the big ski trip where you're taking the baby and the dog and my parents and my husband and I.
And you were so relieved that everything had like finally come together and worked out with all those moving pieces.
Right. We'd gotten every little piece, the baby, the right car seat for travel, because, you know, there's a correct travel car seat. I mean, it's insane.
Is that right? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not every car seat you can have is FAA approved. Oh. And there's not an FAA list, by the way, for car seats. You actually have to go out and do this research. But anyway, so we have all the moving parts, all the moving pieces done. I'm at the office. I'm doing my thing. Mom and Dad were heading up there a day early with Bella, their two-year-old, I guess now, Chesapeake Bay Retriever puppy. And by puppy, I mean she's 90 pounds. She's a good-sized dog.
Yeah, that's a puppy.
That is a puppy. And they had to buy a special crate to fit her, and that was airline approved and
wow.
Stuff. And so I'm here at the office just jamming away, and all of a sudden I get a 911 call from Dad about an hour before they're taking off. So 20 minutes before boarding or something.
Okay.
And it just says head to the airport.
Uh-oh.
Not a gate, not a what's going on, not a anything, just go to the airport. And so I rush out of my office thinking, you know, something bad has happened, obviously, because I don't get a lot of 911 texts. And I get in the car and I'm headed to the airport and I call him and I get him on the phone. And I'm like, you know, what's wrong? And he says, Bella's too big. And I kind of pause for a second.
I would imagine that's like, wait, hold on. I got to process that, right?
Well, too big for. Like, too big for the crate? I thought you guys had checked that. No, not too big for the crate. The crate was literally too big for the aircraft.
Oh, no.
That spot in the bottom of the plane where they put animals, the door's only so big. And Bella's kennel or crate was bigger than the door.
Oh, gosh.
And there's only one type of plane they fly to Salt Lake City. So it wasn't like that she could catch the next one. She couldn't go. And so the last minute, in less than 24 hours before I'm leaving, while I'm trying to pack and handle office, I got to grab Bella from Mom and Dad. They barely made their flight and take her to our family vet / boarding facility and get her boarded.
Oh,
and off. And so what I was afraid of, which was having everybody on a family vacation, ended up not being so bad.
Yeah. Well, at least it worked out there at the end, but some scary moments leading up to it. And unfortunately, Bella didn't get to join everybody out at the big
shindig. No, we missed her, and she missed making snow angels, but she had a wonderful spa week.
There you go.
And was really, really happy to see us when we picked her up. But yeah, that trip ended up not starting off the most mellow.
I'm surprised Tim wasn't like out there on the tarmac with a chainsaw trying to open up the opening a little bit wider so that it could fit on there, you know. I could just see him doing that.
You know what? I think had they not known the rest of the flights were oversold, he would have maybe tried. He was looking up Delta. He was looking at other airlines. Dad, just let me, at this point, just let me take the dog.
Well, I'm glad that everything worked out okay and that you still had a great trip, and welcome back, and looking forward to today's podcast, because we've got lots of good things to dive into on the show today, and hopefully Bella will be able to join you next time around.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yep. Maybe so. A little later on in the podcast, we're going to answer a question from one of you, one of our listeners. Hector has a question for us, so we'll dive into that a little bit. Hector is wondering a little bit about Roth IRA versus traditional IRAs, so we'll answer his question and a little little bit more on the way on today's show that you'll want to stay tuned for. But I want to start off the conversation this week and try to give you in a couple of minutes here some of the things that might be wasting away in your financial junk drawer. Now, we're going to give you six things that might be in that financial junk drawer. Now, everybody, I'm raising my hand, Bree. I know you are. Everybody's got a junk drawer, right?
Oh, yeah. And ours has got all kinds of random things in it.
Everything probably from rubber bands, clothespins, glue sticks. With you having a little one, I bet there's all sorts of crazy little things that have floated in there.
All types of crazy little things, up to and including a laser level and a laser measure that belong to my husband, a hammer.
Wait, those things should be in the toolbox, not the junk drawer.
Now, ours is very odd. Well, you have an architect in your house. Your junk drawer's odd.
It takes on the owner's personality a little bit, doesn't it?
It does.
It's pretty funny. Well, we've all got one of those junk drawers. And the thing about junk drawers that's funny is if we just went in there and kind of cleaned them up, we'd find useful stuff probably all the time. Because we put things in there that we're going to use again. We just then forget that it's probably lying in and hanging out in the junk drawer. Perfect example, I was scrambling around looking for scissors the other day, Brie, to have in my office. Because I was like, I want a particular set of scissors to have in my office. And I went out to the store because I couldn't find scissors anywhere, and I bought a particular set for the office. Well, later that day, I happened to open the junk drawer, and there's three pairs of scissors in the junk drawer. I could have just taken one of those and put them upstairs. So I could have easily taken something in the junk drawer and put it to better use. And that's sort of the idea behind the financial junk drawer. What are the things that are hanging out in our portfolios that we might be able to use more efficiently or somewhere else? Where can they be better served? One example. So first item on the list would be a really old life insurance policy. Is that a common financial junk drawer item in your eyes?
Very common financial junk drawer item. And I am all about, I'm watching a lot, was watching Netflix leading up to the vacation and packing. And I'm all about Marie Kondo.
I haven't seen the show yet.
You may have
yet.
Seen the show on Netflix, but she talks about how to fold and
I've
how to bring joy to your life by getting rid of items. And so I like to think about it as Marie, the financial Marie Kondo.
There you go. Okay.
Thing with an old life insurance policy is my first question is, what's the point of it? Why did you buy it? What was it for? Was it to pay off a mortgage that you've now paid off? Is it term and it's about to expire? You know, do you even need it? Do you need to be paying the premiums on it? Could it be better used as positioned as tax-free income later on? You know, what type of life insurance it is? It leads me to have a lot of questions, but they're questions to decide whether or not it brings joy to your financial picture or not.
Hmm.
And if it doesn't, we need to thank it and let it go.
Interesting. Oh, I'm hearing the Frozen song in the back of my head now. Let it go.
No, that would be Tim. Tim sings the Frozen song in the office.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. We talked about that many, many podcasts ago. I remember you telling that story. That's just coincidence that popped into my head there, but you're exactly right. So, yeah, we need to get Tim in here just to sing that song specifically for the financial junk drawer. If we can't use it, let it go. And that old life insurance policy would be a good example of that case. Similarly, speaking of things that are outdated, we might also find in the financial junk drawer, item number two, an outdated will or estate plan. Kind of goes hand in hand with that life insurance idea, right?
Yeah. Wills are not just set it and forget it documents. I think of a will the same way I think of a loaf of bread. It can get stale. And having a stale will or an old will, you might as well not have a will. Hmm. And what I mean by that is people that are mentioned in it may have predeceased you, so they may no longer be here to benefit from you. Kids are born every single day, kids, grandkids. Marriages and relationships change. So you need to bring out the will, bring out the estate plan, and review it at least annually to decide, does this even make sense? Are all these people still here? Do I still like all of these people? Do I still want to bequeath my belongings to this person? Go through it and think about it.
Yeah. Bequeath, one of my favorite words, by the way. So kudos to you for dropping that on today's episode. You may be listening. You may be saying, all right, I don't have a really old life insurance hanging out in the financial junk drawer, nor do I have an outdated estate or will in there, estate plan. What about a Social Security estimate originally received during the Clinton administration?
Oh, what I call the green sheets, the Social Security statements when they used to mail them.
Yep.
Before they decided that the U.S. government decided the U.S. Postal Service was too expensive.
This is that thing that in the junk drawer that gets like shoved up, you know, back behind another utensil or item, and it gets lost back there for like two decades. And then all of a sudden you discover it one day when you're cleaning things out.
Yeah, what I would say to this is take a look at it, check the information on it, make sure that it is correct through the date that it is, and then go on to ssa.gov, go to the website, and look at the new version and compare and contrast, because there are physical people entering the information in, actual people entering the information in for the Social Security statements. And I don't know about you, but I've made a typo or two in my life, you know, and so use it to compare. But once you've compared it, you can probably shred that one.
And what you're talking about in terms of making sure it's accurate, someone might be saying, well, what about it needs to be accurate? The importance here is that the amount of money in your Social Security statement is going to have a big impact on what you get to withdraw several years down the line, or even you're close to retirement in the next year or two, potentially. So you want to make sure that the money that they say you made is actually accurate. Otherwise, you're not going to get the benefit you should.
Oh, huge things. I've seen, we had a prospect come in here a couple of weeks ago that was missing years. Their small business employer apparently didn't report their Social Security earnings for years. And that can drastically affect how much you get in retirement. So you want to make sure it's correct.
Yep. Great point. All right. So that's item number three. Number four on the financial junk drawer, 401k statements from your last three employers. This would be that person that keeps, you know, it's just common these days, moving from job to job and those old retirement plans just kind of sitting around.
Oh, yeah. My first question is why so many consolidate? You don't need four different IRA accounts. That's a conversation that I've had several times with my husband.
You're not diversified by the amount of accounts you have, right?
Right. No. Yeah, no. The amount of accounts you have means nothing. The other thing, take a look at the fees that you're being charged, your investment choices. Usually if it's within a 401k, your investment choices are super limited. Are you being a good money manager of your own money, having multiple accounts set up that way? Do yourself a favor. Bring everything together. Consolidate. Make sure you're being a good steward of your money and making your money work hard for you. You've worked hard for it. Make it work hard for you. And having it split and just having old 401k sitting out there, you know, maybe rebalancing, maybe not, maybe being invested properly, maybe not. That's not doing anything for you.
Yeah. It's another great point. And I want to throw into this conversation too, talking about financial junk drawer items. This was an actual junk drawer item for me growing up. I remember from getting all these U.S. savings bonds from when I was basically born. My grandma bought savings bonds for years and years and years until she actually switched to buying stock for us for Christmas and birthday presents, which was a pretty awesome grandma now looking back. You know, thought it was kind of lame as a kid maybe for a little while, but boy, you certainly gain a quick appreciation for that when you get a little older. But originally it was U.S. savings bonds, and I remember just, you know, trying to find and assemble them all together when it came time for college, and we're like, let's use these savings bonds finally. This is what they were for.
You know, one of the things, if you ever come into our office, well, I'll have to show you, is in our conference room, we have a few shares of Disney stock that Dad gave me as a Christmas present.
Nice.
That's framed, because the Disney stock certificates are so cool looking. So it's framed, hanging in our conference room. And we've actually had people come in that have never seen a stock certificate before, because it's all done electronically. So I show them what an actual stock certificate looks like.
I kind of miss those days.
But yeah, it was a Christmas present that I didn't quite understand until Dad explained to us that then you own part of Disney, like Mickey Mouse works for you. And then I went to Disney World and kept telling cast members that I was their boss.
Hey, can I piggyback off of your story there? Because we certainly, Walt Disney was the very first one that my grandmother bought us. A few years later, she bought us Hershey. You know, she would always buy like really cool, you know, things that kids would think were cool, obviously, help make it fun. And so he's like, you now own part of Hershey. And I was like, man, this is so cool. And the next time we went to the grocery store, I took a Hershey bar and tried to just walk out the door with it, because I was like, I own it. Like, I don't need to pay for this. I own it. So, like, no, you can't quite do it that way.
Well, I can tell you cast members do not really love precocious children explaining to them that they are their bosses.
They've probably heard that a few times, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. At that point in time, I don't know how many precocious little girls walked around that way. But, you know, hey, those old bonds that you have, the biggest pro to a savings bond, it is backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, which is awesome. But, like, Series EE bonds, I checked this morning, they're fixed. They're earning 0.10%. Oof. That's their interest rate. And it's fixed forever. At least Series I bonds have the fixed rate and an inflation rate added to them, so they're a little bit better than the EE bonds. There's just so many more investments that are out nowadays that there's, I mean, heck, I can get a 6-month CD for interest rate of, oh, no, I can do a 3-month CD with an interest rate of 0.55%.
Yeah.
So, what were they for? How long have you had them? Are they making money or losing money versus inflation? And what do you want? What is the plan for them? What is the goal for them?
Yeah. The purpose behind those dollars, always keep that in mind. So check the financial drawer. Maybe you've got some lazy money hanging in there. A U.S. savings bond might be a great example of that. So just be on the lookout for that. Okay, sixth and final item, Bree. A vacant lot purchased 15 years ago as an investment. The size of our financial junk drawer just got significantly bigger with a vacant lot inside of it. But
oh, yeah.
What do we do with that?
Well, the problem with a bigger junk drawer is you get more junk.
That's right.
No, there's some pros and some cons to vacant land. The pro is you can create the highest and best use of the land. There's less maintenance on just vacant land than there is a building.
True.
Usually it's more affordable, and you can just own it. Outright, you own this land. It's also, here's the cons, and I think the cons outweigh the pros. It's difficult to finance if you don't fully own it. There's no current cash flow. If it's just vacant land, unless you're getting mineral rights or something on it, you're not getting rental income or an income stream. If you do want to build something, you have to go through permits and approval processes, and it depends on the city that you're working with. When I say Joaquin, my wonderful and lovely husband, who I know is sitting out there listening to this, can complain for hours upon hours upon hours as an architect for permits and approvals, he can. And if you ever want to hear it, call him and ask. There's also fewer tax advantage by having just raw land. And then there's physical issues. What if there's a mudslide? What if there's issues with your land? There's all kinds of stuff. And then market conditions. Selling a piece of raw land is not as easy as selling, say, a stock or an investment where there may be, you know, a giant market for it. You've got to find the right buyer at the right time to make the most money off your raw land.
And depending on the land, that could be a pretty small pool of potential buyers, right?
Yeah, it's not my favorite choice for real estate in a portfolio, that's for sure.
So something to definitely be aware of and to be careful of. So there you have it, the six things potentially wasting away in your financial junk drawer: a really old life insurance policy, that outdated will or estate plan, a Social Security estimate back from the Clinton administration, we threw that on the list, 401k statements from past employers, savings bonds, and the vacant lot that you might have purchased, you know, 15 years or so ago as an investment that's not really doing anything for you these days. The bottom line here, right, Bree, is that these are dollars that need a purpose potentially. They might not be working efficiently for you. So if somebody's raising their hand right now and they're saying, yeah, I got a couple of these things probably sitting in my financial junk drawer, what can be done?
Call someone. Call a certified financial planner. Call us here at Estes Financial Services. Take them to someone and have them look over it. And call a lawyer for the will and the estate plan. And if you don't have a good one, I can help you find one. Sometimes the life insurance paperwork, all that, it's kind of confusing. Heck, even the bonds are kind of confusing to look at, especially if this isn't your industry, if you don't see them every day. I've had many people bring paperwork in and go, I don't know what this is. Do I need it? There is nothing wrong with doing that. People get so embarrassed about it, but I want everyone to know out there, there's nothing wrong with bringing old things to your financial advisor or to a new financial advisor and saying, I don't get this, explain this to me. Because there is absolutely no shame in going through that process. It's important for you to know what you own and know whether it's junk and you need it, or whether you can, like Marie Kondo does, say thank you to it and release it from your life and maybe stop paying on it. Maybe stop wasting money on it.
Yeah, that's a great point. So remember that. Pick up the phone. Call Bree Reyes, Tim Estes, and the great team at Estes Financial Services, 817-444-8402, the number to call if you want to talk with a certified financial planner about your portfolio, about being able to say goodbye and thank you to some of these things sitting in your financial junk drawer. How can we put these things to, you know, a more useful purpose inside of our plans? 817-444-8402 is the number to call, or always online at estesfinancial.net. Bree, I know also that you guys have put together something that's particularly for folks in that starting point of their financial planning process. This may not really apply to folks who have probably been working with you for years and years, but if somebody's new to the show, maybe new to you guys, new to this whole idea of retirement planning, tell me about the toolkit that you've assembled that people can tap into and kind of learn some of those retirement planning basics.
Yes, we have set up a retirement rescue toolkit, and it is amazing and awesome. And what you're going to get inside of it is the book, The Financial Flight Plan. It's 7 Lessons to Save Your Retirement. We co-wrote it. Tim and I and Dan Caprill all co-wrote this book together. It's a real awesome book. A CD that talks about basically the same thing, that you're ticking tax time bomb in your retirement accounts and how you can mitigate those. A couple of special reports. Two of my favorite special reports we have. 5 Risks That Could Destroy Your Retirement, and our tax special report as well. Also an investor awareness guide. All of this has a value of $97, and we're giving it to new listeners, new subscribers, people that call or go online and request it free.
And again, the way you can get your retirement rescue toolkit is to call that number I gave moments ago and just say, hey, I want that toolkit that you guys have. 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. You can email info@estesfinancial.net. That's info@estesfinancial.net. Or you can just look in the description of today's episode on whatever podcast player you're using to listen to the show. Or if you're on the website already, we'll put links to where you can request that toolkit. So we try to make it really easy, lots of different ways that you can say, send me the toolkit, and we'll do that absolutely free. So that's the skinny on the 6 things that might be wasting away in your financial junk drawer. Hopefully that was helpful information for you. We still have to get to a question from Hector here in a few moments, but first,
it's getting to know you time.
It's time to get to know Bree Reyes a little bit better. We take a quick sidestep of all the financial talk and just have a little bit of fun here for a quick moment on the show. I ask a random question to Bree each podcast, and my question for you this week, Bree, is a fun one that we all asked when we were little kids, I'm sure. If you were an animal, what animal would you be?
I would come back as one of our dogs.
Oh, well, of
course.
Our family who wouldn't want to be a dog?
Is notorious for spoiling our dogs. So I would definitely want to be one of the Estes family dogs, Estes Reyes family dogs. They have a very lovely life, a nice pool to swim in, and lots and lots of human food.
And I'm sure lots of belly rubs and back rubs and ear rubs and head rubs and all of those kinds of things.
Tons and tons and tons.
See, I'd be torn between a dog because of just how amazing it must feel to get scratched behind the ears like that all day long by loving humans. But two, some sort of bird, seagull, falcon, I don't really care, any bird. I think it'd be pretty cool to fly, obviously. It would be pretty neat. So that would be a hard decision between those two things.
As long as you don't come back as a hunted bird. I would avoid a dove.
True.
I would avoid pheasants. I would avoid any ducks. Anything that we hunt down here in Texas, I wouldn't come back as one of those.
You guys don't hunt seagulls, right? I've always liked seagulls. People probably find that weird.
I think we hunt them.
Because seagulls get to eat cheese doodles and bread and anything anybody will throw out at the beach. Pretzels, at least that's what we feed seagulls when we go to the beach. So that sounds like a pretty cool diet as a bird. And they just kind of glide.
Like a pretty cool diet as a person.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I'm just a person with wings at that point. There you go. I like the dog pick too, though. You can't really go wrong with that option. All right. That was fun. Mailbag. Let's get to this question from Hector before we wrap up the podcast for the week. Hector, thanks for sending this one in. If you'd like to submit a question to be featured on the show, just contact us through one of the many ways we've listed throughout the program or online at estesfinancial.net. Scroll down to the bottom, you'll see where you can fill out a little form to submit a question. All right, Hector is a simple question. Says, I'm torn between contributing to a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. Which do you think is better?
Ooh, this is a really good question. And I'm going to I hate to say this, Hector, because I know this is the throwaway, but it depends.
Dun, dun, dun. It depends.
The main difference is how and when your money is taxed. I personally love Roth IRAs. As long as you're eligible to contribute, you're under all the limits, and you can contribute. The reason that I'm a big proponent of Roth IRAs, and we talk about it a lot, and I've talked about it a lot on podcasts before, so if you've heard this before, sorry. It's the taxation. It is the taxed never money. Right now, tax rates are incredibly low, but we've got trillions, 20 plus trillions in debt right now. We have historically low tax rates. The average high tax bracket since taxes were enacted is 62%. We're sitting right now at 39%. Taxes are going to have to go up. I want tax-free money. I want tax money that is never going to be taxed again. And to me, that's why Roth IRAs are amazing and wonderful savings vehicles and don't get enough credit. Yes, you have to pay taxes now. A lot of people hate that. I get it. But the devil you know is much, much better than the devil you don't. And I imagine tax rates are going back, have to go up in my lifetime. So I'm a giant proponent of a Roth IRA, but each situation is different. Consult your certified financial planner and your CPA and make sure that you followed all the rules, because I don't want to get you in trouble. But that's my two cents. Really good question. Love the questions. Please keep sending them in. And I really appreciate it. But make sure before you do anything, you go talk to an expert, certified financial planner. Love to talk to you here at Estes Financial Services. But please go talk to somebody before you do anything that involves your taxes.
And if I can throw another thought out there, and feel free to squash this down, Bree, you are the certified financial planner after all, and I just play one here on the podcast. But if it's not a yes or no answer, it's not a 100% this way or the other way, whatever other phrase you want to use here, it can be a balance of the two right?
Definitely can be a balance of the two. I was choosing it as an is and or thing.
That's the phrase I was looking for.
But yeah, you can work together. They work together. The strategy works together well there as well. But the most important thing is to talk to an expert.
Yeah. If you really don't want to lose that immediate benefit from, being able to write off some on your taxes this year with the traditional, you can still get some of that benefit, but then also still reap future benefits by having the Roth element as well. So doesn't have to be all or none in every conversation. Now, it may be the right answer that it's all or none, one direction or the other, depending on your situation, but it doesn't have to be just that in the conversation. So
Exactly.
Important, worth mentioning. Well, very cool. If you've got any questions about anything we've talked on the show today, and it was a fun and long show, hopefully you enjoyed it. And even if it's something that we didn't talk about on the show today, if you've got questions about it, I know that Bree and Tim and the great folks at Estes Financial Services, they've got answers. If they don't know the answer to a question that you ask off the top of your head, here's the cool thing. They're going to go find it out for your particular situation. They're very voracious when it comes to finding out information for their clients. I know this. So if you've got questions for Tim and Bree about anything on your mind related to the financial world and your own situation, give them a call, 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. Come stop by the office there in Fort Worth, and always online on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And the website, of course, is estesfinancial.net. We'll put links to those things in the description of today's show as well. Bree, thanks for all the help on the program today, and keep daydreaming about turning into a dog at some point in time.
I definitely will. And to all the listeners out there, go out and lead an abundant life.